Let me just invite you to allow your eyes to close or just softly focus and just take a few nice, deep breaths. And as you do, take a moment just to notice the experience of breathing. Breathing in, breathing out. Just allowing yourself to settle, to arrive, to know that you're breathing, to know that you're sitting, to know that you're being held to earth by gravity. Allowing your awareness to go within, to notice your body, any sensations, anything drawing your attention, maybe areas of pain or discomfort, and then to bring a gentle, loving awareness to your thoughts, your feelings. Maybe with the acknowledgement of today as Mother's Day, can you, without trying to fix, change anything, just notice how this day lands for you. And the idea here is to meet and acknowledge whatever is present for you with compassion, with curiosity, and with love. Maybe noticing as you acknowledge and meet what's present for you with love, does anything shift or change? Again, just noticing, maybe yes, maybe no, it's okay. And now in this presence of love, can you just gently allow your awareness to come back to your body, back to your breath, back to the sounds, the smells, the awareness of the other beings here in this room and online? And as you're ready, just gently reopening your eyes.
Mother, I am one with the heart.
Thank you, Gwen and Paul and Judith, R and Jim. Yeah, I am one with the heart of the mother. Have you ever met people who say I'm spiritual but not religious? Yeah, we've talked about this here before, you know, and I'm just here to tell you that I am one who is growing to become spiritual and religious. Because the word religion, just in its, I've told you this before, I think, you know, its meaning is from the word prefix re, which means again, and legion from the root legio, which is ligament or connect. So the most basic word of religion is to again connect, right? And that song was a very religious song, okay, to affirm our oneness with the heart of the mother. Yeah, so it's religious. So I know for many of us, and I've been telling you for weeks, I'm planning a class on religious recovery, you know, overcoming some of the trauma of our religious backgrounds is a part of your experience and many of our experiences and mine as well. But I'd love to just see us be able to cultivate a fresh love for that word and what it means and not consider it something of an anathema to be avoided. So, yeah, just perfect. Thank you for that. And on Mother's Day, do you ever just feel like life sometimes is messing with you in a funny way? Just the longer I'm here, there's just been so many things and people and situations where it's just like, you know, God, life, whatever, just has a sense of humor. As I walked into church today, I looked at the flowers out there and thought, oh, how nice for the woman. And then I was greeted at the front door. Scott, I hope this is okay to draw attention to this, but look what I got for Mother's Day, a cigar. I love it. I'm so happy. This is a very special cigar that Scott brought to me. And I was just sitting there having this spiritual moment thinking, okay, it's Mother's Day. It's flowers and cards and all everything that goes with that. And here's James Kress standing with a cigar. And I think, how does this tie into Mother's Day? And again, please don't think that I'm making some kind of spiritual ritual out of this, you know, but maybe something is being given birth to with the getting of this cigar, you know. Maybe it's the birthing of a cigar night here, you know, for men and women, yes, you know, outside at the fire circle, you know, and just bringing some good beverages and all of that. I don't know, but I just kind of, maybe there's something to that we'll grow into. But Scott, thank you for that. I've never been given a cigar on Mother's Day before. We'll just kind of leave it at that. That's the point of the story. And all of that humor and joking, I got to be honest with you, is kind of a little bit of a cover, because I have to confess, as I've been thinking about today, and especially now in this present moment, I have am present to an experience of a little bit of fear and trepidation. And I thought to myself, why didn't I have a woman speak on Mother's Day? What in the world am I doing up here doing this? Because what can I possibly say? And having said that, you also need to know that I feel very humbled and very honored to share some reflections on Mother's Day with you. And so as I just, you know, with all of that present and held here, and I'm just looking at all of your faces and just thanking you for the love and acceptance of me as I am. There's, you know, I hope I'm helping you grow as much as you're helping me grow and evolve being here, because I am. And so I want to start my thoughts today by, it would help if I turn it on. Sorry, Brian. Here we go. All right. Just by locating myself in this Mother's Day message. So that's a picture of my mother, Ellen. So she was born February 6th, 1944, in Greendale, Wisconsin, a little suburb south and east of Milwaukee. She died June 22nd, 2024. And I know that her presence is here today with me in ways that are still very new and very unknown. But I am aware that I have been blessed to know my birth mother and to experience the joy of her motherhood as a young child. I was thinking this morning when I was in elementary school living in Bellevue, you know, walking to school every day, terrified to death of going to school, I would just get an image of my mom's face that would just bring me comfort and peace as I was going to the wild and terrible world of first grade and second grade in school. But, you know, as life and relationship evolved, the relationship with my mom became complicated. and I think many of you here can relate to that. And there were things. And someday, not today, I had a profound, profound spiritual healing experience the night that my mom passed away. I didn't know she was, but I knew she was in my heart. And it was just, I'll summarize it by saying that it involved a painful part of my body and an awareness of the stories that my mind was making about pain that I had experienced in my relationship with my mom. And just the loving awareness of that, you know, brought healing. And so a lot of that is, you know, influenced and is under some of the reflections that I want to, you know, share with you today about motherhood. But again, I do so with just a deep, deep love, appreciation, and gratitude for my own mother. So thank you for allowing me to be able to tell you a little bit about her. Here's the theme and intention of today. This is again, for those of you note takers who want to take away to take with you into your Mother's Day, this is it. And then you can browse Facebook or Instagram or whatever and tune out the rest of my reflections, okay? But this is, as I was thinking about today, the expression of motherhood is universal, and the experience of motherhood is infinite. So when I say that the expression of motherhood is universal, as best I know, all of us human beings entered this human existence through a birth canal of some sort, okay? Now, maybe science will someday make it such that, you know, that will change, but, you know, can we agree that today all of us human beings here, you know, entered into this world through a female birth canal? And before I get to the second half of this, I just want to point out to you, I really, Donna, thank you for your thoughts on Mother Earth. That was very fitting and appropriate. And I just wanted to add to that, I've told you about this before, but for those of you that are into spirituality and love reading books, if you're like me and you have 5 books going that you haven't finished yet, don't. But there's a fascinating book called The Alphabet Versus the Goddess by Leonard Schlain. And in this book, he chronicles how the earliest human depictions of God that we can tell, if you look throughout the earth, are female. This idea and this idea of to the primitive human mind, God was female in the sense that it was through the woman that life comes into this planet. There was this intrinsic knowing. Now, the interesting thing that he traces in this book, it was when we started inventing letters and the alphabet and started writing that you could see a shift from a female orientation about God to a more masculine orientation about God. Now, there's brain science and neurochemistry and all that kind of stuff that's way over my head that I'm not going to get into. What I would like to say today, that when we talk about God, spirit, life, whatever, we understand masculine and feminine as expressions of that, but not a limitation. In other words, God is not male, God is not female, God is both male and female and beyond it. And so what we get to do in this human experience is experience the joy and sometimes the fear and anxiety of living into what all of that means. So this is a good little resource. Now, what I just shared with you is also, and this is, I think, what just causes me to feel some anxiety and fear, is that the experience of motherhood is infinite. Many of us here today, you know, had the blessing of knowing our moms, but some of us don't, at least our biological mothers. We don't know that. There are people here that really want to be mothers, have desired to be mothers, and can't, unable to. There are those who, for whatever reason, did not want to be mothers and did not want to be parents and found themselves, you know, to be parents. And everything in between. And what I want to do is just see if we can acknowledge that and, again, hold that in this container of love, witnessing, and compassion. It's not our intention here to try to fix or to try to change. It's our intention to notice sometimes when judgment shows up. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at situations, my mind can judge it, you know. And, again, we just want to be able to notice that and name that. But there's a range of experience in motherhood. And I think that's what makes some of this day difficult. And this is where I've sat through so many Mother's Day messages, you know, and they've just been like a Hallmark movie, you know, or a Hallmark card. Again, nothing wrong with that. Love me a good Hallmark movie. Love me a good Hallmark card. You know, yes, absolutely. You know, this is not intended to, you know, to spill cold water on that or anything like that. But I just think of, you know, for every traditional, you know, mother and happy family, how many others are there out there for whom this day is really difficult? And, you know, the reminder of mother is very painful. Is there a message of love? Is there a message of hope? Is there a message of inclusion and belonging that can speak to those people as well? And my heart's answer to that is yes. And I hope that's what we can continue to cultivate here. All right. The mystery of motherhood. I'm going to offer you four thoughts from some Sufi mystics on motherhood, okay, that I hope are encouraging to you. But before we do that, I want to offer this. There's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. Does anybody recognize where that quote is from? When I was with my son earlier this week, we watched the movie The Matrix. Any of you watch The Matrix? Okay. I've seen it a bazillion times, and this bazillion and once time that I saw it, if you know the film, Morpheus tells Neo towards the end of the movie that there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And as I was thinking about this as it relates to motherhood and the experience of life, our mind wants to know, right? We want certitude. We want predictability. And if we're American and Western, we want scalability and monetization to grow it, okay? And again, nothing wrong with that. But I also think that love invites us into this mystery where sometimes all you may know is just what's in front of you, the step in front of you. And you might even know that. You might not even know that. Have you ever had times in your life where things seem so foggy, so blurry, so unknown? You know, I don't like those places. I'm a Virgo. I like my life set out for me. I like to have my plan and everything in order. And so when I find myself in the fog, it's like I don't like it. But my friends, those are the best places where faith and trust are cultivated. And I think in our experience and our understanding of motherhood and family and belonging and child, you know, being a child and having children, there's a mysterious way to it that I find fascinating. One more thought, too. Be mindful of your consciousness. Be mindful of your consciousness and ask yourself this. Am I a victim of history or a master of my destiny? John DeMartini told me that. He was involved with the making of the movies The Secret. I don't know if any of you saw that movie. In this little interview, he talks about the secret behind the secret that nobody tells you about. And I thought this was applicable because, again, when we talk about mama, when we talk about motherhood, parenthood, all of us, I think, in one way or another, have experienced various traumas, you know, either capital T, major significant, or little t. And the trauma about trauma isn't so much about what has happened, as awful and as painful as that might be, but it's about how the body responds to that trauma. And usually when we encounter trauma with a parent, there's some form of dissociation or disconnection. And so what that means is then we go through life fragmented. We go through life incomplete. We go through life having shadowy, unknown, dissociated, disconnected parts of ourselves driving the bus when we're not aware to it. And it just adds to the hurt and the pain of our own life here. So to become a master of your destiny is to be able to go to those places that are harmful and traumatic and be able to not fix them, not change them, not wish them away, but to be able to hold them in love. And when you do that, the shift that happens, the change that happens, is you become a more true and authentic version of yourself. And to be the truest, most authentic, fullest, divine, sacred expression of yourself is the greatest gift that you and I can offer the world today. And we can thank our moms, we can thank our parents for allowing us this opportunity in the world to do that. I don't know about you, but I want to be a master of my destiny, not a victim of circumstances, although many times I've lived there. All right, so here's the first thought I'd like to share with you. This is from Rumi. We are born of love, and love is our mother. In the Christian tradition, it's interesting to note that in a lot of, especially early Catholic churches, we see multiple depictions of Mother Mary, Mary the mother of Jesus, almost more than we see of Jesus, and certainly way more than we see of Joseph, Jesus' father. And we talked about this at Christmas time, you know, but in the Christian tradition, Christians, you know, make much about the virgin birth of Jesus. You know, and then this whole idea of, you know, what did that mean? Mary was unmarried? Did that mean that she never had sex? You know, we just go all down these rabbit trails, you know. And what I would just offer to you is Mary, the mother of Jesus, was this young unwed mother to whom God impressed, told her that she was going to give birth. And here is this weak, powerless, so it was a very patriarchal, women-subjectified environment, you know, told that she was going to be pregnant. And the part that just fascinates me and inspires me about that story is it says that Mary pondered these things in her heart, and she said yes. She said yes. Applying that and bringing that forward here today in the context of Mother's Day, mothers and everyone else here, you know, are there things in your life that you're sensing God, Spirit, life, love might be inviting you into today? And the little whisper of that heart would be, can you say yes to that? It might be the scariest. It might be the most new. It might be the most unthinkable, unconscionable thing, you know. But can you say yes? I think that's a gift of motherhood when Rumi is talking about here, being born of love, being coming into this world in love, and then being an expression of that love as individuals begins with motherhood. Let me offer a second one here. Rumi says again, mother is the first word that comes to my lips when I am in need of solace or joy. The deep well of her love, a sanctuary for my weary soul. One of the things that's interesting about motherhood today is the many ways that motherhood finds its expression. We heard, like in one of the songs and in some of the prayers, you know, for some it might be a biological mother, it might be an aunt, it might be a teacher, it might be a coach. You know, all of us have some way have been touched by that. But I also think in the world of sexuality and sexual orientation, you know, how does motherhood intersect with homosexuality, with transsexuality, with queer sexuality, with questioning sexuality? I'm aware that for many of us, these are very difficult, fearful questions, because what comes up is a fear of the propagation of the human species. You know, if sexual expression changes, you know, we as a species are gonna cease to exist. These are just my reflections that I want to offer you here that I hope you can receive them. You know, I don't think a rewiring or a rethinking of masculine and feminine is gonna extinguish humans. I think we may kill ourselves first if that happens. Okay? Here's why. Masculinity and femininity, I believe, is here to stay. We see it in the very first words of the Bible where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the idea. In the beginning was the wisdom. In the beginning was love. All those words, I think, could be substituted in there. And this wisdom, this intention, this idea, this imagination, this love was with God. When I hear that, when I think of that, that's what I think of as inherently masculine, to imagine, to ideate, to intend, to love. I think of masculine. And then when it says that idea, that wisdom, that love became flesh and dwelt among us, that's what I think of as feminine. And part of what we're living into today, I think, is a new dance between masculine and feminine energy. And it's a dance. Sometimes the masculine leads. Sometimes the feminine leads. Sometimes the masculine and the feminine lead together. And sometimes nothing leads. That's what I love about ecstatic dance. You know, it's just this free flowing form. It's just you just don't know. All you can be is present. My point in all of this is if Mother's Day is a struggle for some of you, as you see its various expressions, my heart would be is that you can receive those expressions with openness, with curiosity, with kindness and compassion. And it's a curiosity, kindness, and compassion that's rested on the bedrock, an unchangeable, unshakable, timeless truth that love is always expressing itself. Love is always going to find a way. I'd say it to this way, a little more sassy. Who are we humans to think that we're so powerful enough that we can stop love's expression? I'm not that powerful enough. Now, I may get in the way. I may do things that make it really difficult. But I think love is an unstoppable, love is an unending, unbounded, limitless force and wisdom that's always going to be expressing itself, and we find itself in motherhood. This is Khalil Gibran, who said, "The mother is everything. She is our consolation in sorrow, our hope in misery, and our strength in weakness. She is the source of love, mercy, sympathy, and forgiveness." I thought this was helpful for, again, you on this, you know, Mother's Day, to think about who are the beings, the people in your life that either in the past or even currently are offering consolation in sorrow, hope in misery, and strength in weakness, love, mercy, sympathy, and forgiveness. Can you take time, if you haven't today, to just acknowledge who those beings are and express gratitude, send them love, come alongside them in prayer and meditation, you know, and just join hearts and hands with them? Because I think all of us in one way or another have those beings and have those things, people in our life. In this line here, "They who lose their mother loses a pure soul who blesses and guards them constantly." One of the difficult things about Mother's Day is, for many of us, it's our first Mother's Day without our mother, if they passed in the last year or two. And the invitation here is to honor and be present to that sense of grief and that sense of loss, because it too is our teacher. When we're present to grief, when we're present to sorrow, when we're present to pain, it has a way of breaking open our hearts so that light can both get in and come out in new and amazing ways. But, you know, when we love someone, when we love something, there's always going to be the risk of loss. And I think to not have that risk, you know, is to not love. Because that's the experience of love. One more here. I love this one. It says, "Your children are not your children. They are sons and daughters of life's longing for itself." This was my save the best for last. Now, I'm a dad. I got three kids. I got three grandkids, a fourth on the way. You know, there's a sweetness to them. But one of the crazy thing is, you know, I got to hold them like, you know, like, kind of like a wet bar of soap. You know, loosely but firmly, all right? How many of you have had kids grow up and maybe not turn out the way that you thought they would have or would want them to? You know, one of the things about being a grandparent, it's totally fun to, of course, be with your grandkids, but then watching your kids be parents. and it just takes you back, you know, and as a first parent, I mean, man, you're reading every book and you're documenting everything, and, you know, and nowadays, I mean, parents have these, you know, cameras you can put on kids, you know, with, I mean, recording every kind of data, what their breaths per minute are, what their blood pressure is, what their respiration rate is, when's the last time they're 8? I mean, my daughter-in-law shows me all this stuff, and I just get a headache over the weight of all the information and data that they do, and the schedule and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, I mean, what you see is, again, when you love a child, you know, so much, of course, yes, we want to hold on, and we want the best for them, and we want, you know, everything to happen. But then, you know, life, again, has this way of just, yeah, sometimes things don't turn out. And all three of my kids could not
be more different from each other? And I'm pretty darn sure they came from the same gene pool, you know. I know all that. But again, here's the idea. Look at nature. You know, if you need a sanity check, look at the beauty of nature, the trees, the flowers, the lake. I was down at Lake Coeur d'Alene again this morning and just marveling in the beauty and grandeur of the water, the lake, and the trees that are here. And I was especially present to, again, especially in this time of spring with new growth, the tenderness of the new flowers, the new leaves that come, they just seem so fragile. And they seem so tender. But then the roots, the branches, the things that go deep down into the soil are so strong. What, again, an example of life. I told you just a little sidetracked here. You know, walking Tubbs Hill. I think Tubbs Hill is just a giant rock in one way. Is it? I mean, I don't know. There's not much dirt. But I just marvel at the size of the trees that grow out of this rocky soil. Many of you are working out here in our garden, you know, and how many of you, you're tilling the soil and getting the weeds and putting everything in there and all that kind of stuff. I just marvel at how these majestic trees are growing up out of what has to be some of the rockiest soil in the world, you know, and they're just there. You see, that energy, that thing, that's what gives me faith. That's what grounds me when I think of, you know, just life that seems so chaotic, so unpredictable. You know, to go out into nature and to see the lake, to see the trees, to see the mountains, to be up a couple days ago, you know, where the Yak River and the Kootenai River come together. And just, you know, I mean, how many millennia has this been going on? I don't know, you know, you know, but I'm fascinated by the science that does. But circling all of this back to this Mother's Day, and whether you have biological children or not, you know them. Whether you have, you know your biological parents or not, you've been influenced by people like that. Hold all of the experience with that in a love that will never quit. And whatever longings may be there, whatever desires and cares that you have, know this. I forget where it says this, but what you long for, what I long for, longs for you, longs for me. What we long for longs for us. What I long for longs for me. There's a Mother's Day poem that I want to just leave you with here today. If I can find it now. There it is. This is To My Mother by Edgar Allan Poe. Some of you know, okay. Because I feel that in the heavens above, the angels, whispering to one another, can find among their burning terms of love none so devotional as that of mother. Therefore, by that dear name I long have called you, you who are more than mother unto me, and fill my heart of hearts, where death installed you in setting my Virginia's spirit free. My mother, my own mother, who died early, but was but the mother of myself, but you are mother to the one I love so dearly, and thus are dearer than the mother I knew. By that infinity with which my wife was dearer to my soul than its soul life. Amen. And so it is. Thank you.